Good evening. Thank you for coming out tonight. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Judges, chapter 6, to say thank you again to Brother Mark for his kind words. Judges, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 1. Judges 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made themselves the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, who said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you all their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, that is Gideon, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. I'm sure God is able to bless the reading of his precious word. Most of the stories in the Bible, especially when they are stories of a particular person like Gideon, they're usually two parts to the story. Now, with Gideon, the best known part is the part that I didn't read. I don't know whether you wanted me to read it or not, but if you were looking for what is best known, it was just about to come. I stopped before I read the part that he was asked to go with the men, 32,000 first, who came to fight. The Lord told him, send 22,000 home, or at least send those home who don't want to fight, and 22,000 went home. That left 10,000, and the Lord said, no, that's too many. I mean, after all, it's only 135,000 Amalekites. We don't need 10,000 of you. And so, you remember what Gideon did. He had the men drink, and those that lapped with their hands like a dog laps with his tongue, those God chose, and they were 300 strong against 135,000. And, of course, the 300 won. Or did they? God won. And that's, as we know it, the story of Gideon. There's a lot more to that. Gideon didn't do well all the time. It wasn't too long afterwards before he melted down gold from that same battle and raised up an image, which he should not have done. But we are reminded in the first part of the story, which I read, that God's chosen people Israel had sinned. That's what the first verse says or indicates. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. These were redeemed people. These had come out of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea, crossed the Jordan, gone into the promised land and destroyed most of the people in there, had settled into the land and did what God told them not to do. Do you ever do what God tells you not to do? Don't everybody shout at once? No, we fail so often, don't we? God said, don't marry the people of the land, because if you do, they will bring their strange gods to you, and you will become idolaters. And that's exactly what the children of Israel did. These people of God bowed down to idols, and God sent people in to punish them. All the through the beginning of Judges, one set of people after the other came because of Israel's sin. And then God sent a judge, a person, Ehud, Shamgar. You know about those, don't you? Well, you know about Shamgar. You sing about him anyway. Shamgar had an ox goad. He did wonderful things with an ox goad. You know what an ox goad is? Well, if you're plowing a field and the ox is in front of you, and he stops and you want to make him go, you take a stick and you poke him. That's an ox goad, that stick. What a marvelous thing. What a wonderful weapon to use for the Lord, eh? Not very much to use for the Lord, was it? Samson had a jawbone. Moses had a rod. Mary had some ointment. You know the chorus. And they all were used of God. But before Gideon was used of the Lord, the children of Israel were found under the bondage of the Midianites because of their sin. And it was terrible. It says, the portion that I read says that the Midianites came up to Israel, and everything that the Israelites planted, the Midianites reaped. They brought their animals and their cattle, and they destroyed the land, and Israel planted but didn't get anything to eat, and they were impoverished. They were starving. That's what sin does. Sin starves us of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. If you love the Lord Jesus and you sin, fellowship is broken, and you'll starve for longing for Him and for the peace that He gives. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then you have no peace. You have no spiritual food. You are starving to death. And one day, if you don't trust the Lord Jesus, you will go out. You will die physically, and then you will die eternally. And you'll go to hell, where there is weeping, the Bible says, and wailing, and gnashing of teeth. But Israel always did something, almost always did something, that us as believers need to remember. Israel cried unto the Lord. They longed for Him because they were in bondage to the Midianites, and they longed for the time when they were free to worship God. And so they called upon the Lord, and the Lord shut the door on them and turned His back on them, didn't He? No, He didn't. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when they cried unto the Lord sent them Gideon. And that's the part of the story that I didn't read. But you know, that part of the story says Gideon met the Lord. I didn't read it, but the Lord appeared unto him. God's son appeared unto Gideon and said, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, I am a small man, Lord. I'm small from a small tribe. I'm weak, small man in my father's house. The Lord said, I use small things. Are you small tonight? You only have an ox goad? You only have a jawbone? You say, no, I don't even have those. You know, it doesn't matter what you have. It matters what you do with what you have. It matters a great deal what you do with what you have. You can do things bigger than the greatest men can do if they don't give what they have to the Lord, and you give the little that you have to the Lord. He'll multiply it, as He did with Gideon. Because eventually Gideon did take the Lord at his word and go off into the battle. It took some coaxing. Gideon said, "Lord, if I put this fleece on the ground, just I want you to just prove to me that you want me to do this. Will you make it wet and all the ground dry tonight?" And he left the fleece on the ground, and the next morning he picked up the fleece. The ground was dry. He picked up the fleece and he squeezed out a bowl full of water out of the wet fleece, and the ground was dry. You know that wasn't enough. Gideon said, "Lord, tonight make the fleece dry and the ground wet if you want me to do this." And the next morning the ground was all wet and the fleece was as dry as could be. And then the Lord, who was so kind and so gracious to us, he said to Gideon, "I know you're still scared, so take your servant and go down to the Midianites. I want you to hear something." And when he got down there and he listened, they were talking about a great man of God named Gideon who was going to come down and destroy them. They were already scared, even though Gideon hadn't come yet. Little is much when God is in it, isn't it? So Gideon went back and got ready to battle. And remember I told you, 32,000 men came to fight and only 300 fought. Because if the 32,000 had gone and won the battle, the Lord said, they'll say, "We did that. Look at us. Look at how strong we are." But they couldn't say that with 300 men. And we need to remember that too, fellow Christians. If you want to do something for the Lord, there's no point trying to do it by yourself. If you try to do it by yourself, you'll fail. You might even think you are successful. But eventually, it will prove to be a failure. So when Gideon would not count on his own strength, but on the Lord won a great victory. Do you have any Midianites in your house? I've got plenty of them in my house. If you know what they look like, you can come to my house. I can show them to you. Enemies. Enemies. I don't mean that I have them stacked up in the house, but they always seem to be around. Temptations and difficulties. They don't come to you? You don't have them? I have them, and I'm nearly as old as you are. I'll never see 39 again. Do you believe that? I'll never see 39 again. And you know, I thought, Derek's about to tell you how old I am. When I was your age, I thought when I got to be my age, I wouldn't even be bothered by trouble and temptation. It is absolutely no different. And the answer is absolutely no different. The answer is the Lord. Whether you're unsaved and you need the Lord Jesus, remember that he died to meet your greatest need, which is salvation from sin. He paid the price for your sin. But you know, that doesn't save you unless you accept him. You need to come and meet him. And then bow to him and invite him into your heart. And if you love the Lord Jesus, you need to do the same thing. And he will give you the victory over any temptation, over any difficulty. If Gideon could beat 135,000 men with 300, with the Lord's help, he can do anything. And you notice the Bible says the Lord can do the impossible if we invite him in to our hearts. As Christians, day by day, surrendering ourselves to him, he will give us the victory. One story in three parts. Mr. and Mrs. Logan, Wallace and Ruth Logan, went to Zambia in Africa. It used to be Rhodesia, now Zambia, in 1923. They left a thriving business in the States. They didn't get any support from any church or any people. They just went out with the Lord on their side and developed a mission base in Zambia, and literally hundreds and hundreds of people got saved. So many got saved that in 1929 they had to build a church. So they hired, people were sending them money from the United States and Canada, so they hired the African natives and they started to build a church for 2,000 people. Did it click in anybody's mind, us old people, that 1929 was the year of the stock market crash in the United States? And right in the middle of that building program, when they needed all the money they could get to pay for their supplies and pay for the labor, they got a telegram from the bank. U.S. dollars are no longer of any value in this country. They didn't have a dime that they could spend. And they had the end of the month wages coming up and the supplies to pay for. And they looked to the Lord. I believe it was quoted in the sword drill tonight. Hebrews 13 and 5. Was that a verse tonight? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They laid, Mr. and Mrs. Logan laid hold on the Lord and said, Lord, we believe you called us here. We believe you want us to build a building. People are getting saved. We leave it with you. They had never got a gift from Ireland in the years that they had been in Zambia. Before the end of the month, they got a check from a man in Ireland that they didn't know and never ever heard from since, with enough money to pay the bill at the end of the month. Of course, they still needed more money. The U.S. money was still no good. So the next month, somebody sent a check from New Zealand. They didn't know him either. And the next month, somebody sent money from Australia. And the currency from Ireland, from New Zealand, and from Australia was good. They didn't go down with the stock market crash in the United States. And so God continued to supply every month until that building was built or until the U.S. dollar became strong again and they could use their money again. And what is even just as strange is the month that the U.S. dollar became strong, none of these other people sent any more money. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Mr. Logan may not have been the one to do this, but he's one that enjoys doing it, he said. He's dead now. He says, now I like to read that verse backwards. And this is how that verse, and you've heard it before, I'm sure. Thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. Thee forsake, God says to you as his child, nor thee leave, never will I. I will always supply your needs. Another verse was a favorite of the Logans. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. They had two little children, twins. They were about to go off on a trek, a mission trek, out into the jungles, I suppose, of Africa. They were going to be gone for a long time. And just before they left, they realized that the area that we were going didn't have any milk. They wouldn't be able to provide for their children. The nearest place was 6 weeks by boat to get milk. That was how far they were into the heart of Africa. So obviously, it seemed, humanly speaking, they wouldn't have any. And so they prayed. Just a few months before that, a lady in the United States, a sister who knew them, was out shopping, and she came across some powdered milk. She was buying some milk for her children. And the Logans came to her mind when she saw the powdered milk. And she said, I thought I would buy you some milk for maybe your children. The twins need it. And I bought it. And as I was leaving the store, I passed a post office that was inside the store. And I got an urge. Post the milk now. So instead of going home as I intended and posted a few days later, I posted it right there at that moment in the store. That milk went overseas by boat, inland by train, then by courier, on foot. That courier used to come every 6 weeks, give or take a month or two, to them. The day before they were to go on their trek, their missionary trek, he arrived with the milk, sent by God. Months before the need arose, arriving the day the need arose. And this is the verse, as I mentioned before. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. My time is gone. I'm going to leave the other same Mr. Logan, Mr. and Mrs. Logan, beautiful story of the wonders of God and the faithfulness of God. Do you have a God like that? Yes, you do, if you love the Lord Jesus, and so do I. The problem is not with God, the problem is with me. I don't have that strength of faith to get up from Spanish Wells and go into the heart of Africa to leave a well-paying job. And I don't know if the twins were born after they arrived or they carried them with them with absolutely nothing. Oh, that's a wrong way to say that. With no one but God. But with God having everything, they went. And they found day by day, God, our God, will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, I pray that he will give us the strength of faith to trust him like that. And maybe one day, if he tarries, somebody will get up in a church somewhere and maybe call out a name of some young person that's sitting in this room tonight and say, that person went to such and such a place and did this for the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that would happen from somebody sitting in this room tonight? I'm aware that Brother Marty is in the room tonight and God has sent him and he answered and used him for his glory, and we are so grateful to the Lord for him. We pray that he will raise up others for his glory, shall we pray. We thank you, our Father, for your precious word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, about whom the word speaks. We thank you for men and women who over the years have done exploits for thee, conquered for thee, killed lions and bears and giants for thee, and that you close the mouth of lions for some, like Daniel. And you provide at the very last minute, but just at the very right time for people like the Logans and others. Today, Lord, all over the world, help us to trust you more and to so live our lives that you'll be able to use us in that way to honor and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray in his precious name. Amen.